This is a replay of the Tuesday night, March 21st WGN show. We started promptly at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, unless sports preempt us, that from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 whole hours to spend together, and I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Whatever's on your mind will be on my mind. Regardless, you'll take precedent, but I do have some slime from the checkout line. Yep, couldn't pass up the National Enquirer standing there right in the checkout line and saw humiliated Harry sells soul to save marriage. I thought, I'm going to read that. All right, so yeah, you don't get too many soul-selling stories, but indeed, leave it to the tabloids. Now, speaking of which, what I'm about to share with you is not out of the tabloids. I will say, when I first read it, I didn't realize it pertained only to New Jersey, but somehow that makes so much sense, and I'll get into that and tie it into inflation while we're at it, but starting next Monday, and it's March 28th, Walmart is charging customers in New Jersey 42 cents per bag for delivery orders. I'm like, wait a minute, I've seen their bags. They're not worth 10 cents. Well, 10 cents per bag for pickup or in-store purchases. That's right, a fee. 42 cents a bag. And you're saying, what on earth is precipitating this? Ah, the legislature of New Jersey. Why didn't I think of that right away? Yes, they've come up with a single-use ban. And the law prohibits retailers from providing single-use plastic or paper bags to customers, regardless of thickness. There are some exceptions, not many. Bags used solely for wrapping uncooked meat, fish, or poultry. Bags used solely for containing loose fruit, vegetables, nuts, etc. Bags used solely for delivering newspapers, laundry or dry cleaning bags, and bags sold in packages containing multiple bags intended for use as garbage or pet waste. Other than that, it is illegal for a retailer to give you a bag. Now, it's obviously not illegal for them to sell you a bag, and so that's what Walmart is going to do. And what they're saying, of course, is they're saying, we're hoping that this will incentivize customers to bring their own reusable bags and reduce waste. Yeah, you just heard about the Candida incidences in nursing homes. Well, I'll tell you, reusable bags, talk about the number of germs in those, but that's a whole different subject. Now, as I read this, at first, as I say, my big outrage was 42 cents. I've seen these bags. No chance. But then it occurred to me that you have to be pretty much dead not to notice that inflation is just alarmingly evident everywhere. Yeah, yesterday for me, it was going into a Home Depot, and I just wanted a power strip, nothing big, 8 outlets, just put it up on a desk there, and $44. And that was not the deluxe model. And as I look at everything and the pricing being just out of sight all the way around, really. Not only do I wonder how people are doing this, of course, article after article is talking about how credit card debt is going up, and that's a frightening thought, but what it really comes down to in many ways is things like the New Jersey legislature saying, well, you're gonna pay fines if you give out bags, can't give out a bag, and on and on. And I think that if you scratch the surface, and of course we see what's going on with gas prices and the like, it's not the least bit surprising that prices are on the rise, but alarmingly so. So anyway, thought I'd start with that since it was top of mind for me, but whatever is floating your boat is what I want to talk about. 888-876-5593. That's 88 Raleigh. Yeah, 88 Raleigh. There's four eights in that. Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y-E. Right here on WGN Radio.
Another day, these tears are falling. Since you went away, my heart keeps calling. Each tear from my eyes can make you realize, why can't you see the way my heart is calling? That you'd never go away. But I played around too long, and you left that very same day. I didn't mean to lie, I couldn't explain why, but can't you see now my heart is calling?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Jackie Wilson. Who else? And played that because it was on this date in 1959. Yeah, about 8 years before we recorded that. That Jackie Wilson was on Dick Clark's Saturday Night Show, the Beach Nut Show, along with Annette and Frankie Ford, as far as that goes. My Heart is Calling on Brunswick, and that's actually on the Whispers album that came out in 67, June, a fine album all the way around. Carl Davis produced it, and Gerald Sims conducted it, and it was a fine record. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. We're not 100% sure what happens on Tuesdays, but John actually was the one who brought it to my attention. He said, 3 hours tonight, huh? I said, yep. You ready? I said, no, why do you ask? He said, because you're going to be talking to yourself Tuesday night, and nobody calls. And you know, I started to think there's a certain amount of truth to that, that some nights we're just besieged with calls, and I love every one of them, and other nights it is the vast wasteland, to quote Newton B. Minow. But here we are, and of course, I have slime from the checkout line, and we're reading this together because I haven't even gotten to the heart of the matter on most of these stories. But the headlines look good. Of course, that's the way it is, especially lately with tabloids, that the headline writers all need a raise because the stories absolutely never live up to the rest of the deal. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, otherwise, yes, will expiring minds want to know? We'll just take a look at the National Enquirer. Many stories, including Jerry Lee Lewis's kid evicted from the family farm. But I'm trying to get to the heart of the matter with regard to some of the headline stories. Oh, was Alex Murdaugh framed for murder? Well, of course, you know that there will be appeals and he'll be saying everything in the world. And apparently, legal experts and lawmen believe the patriarch of the powerful political clan, enough peas in that, was railroaded by shady South Carolinian prosecutors and homicide investigators. Yeah. And so they're saying crooked authorities fabricated proof of his guilt and ignored key evidence. Well, I will say that that as far as absolute proof, this was largely a circumstantial case, although, and also you can't get away from the fact that by testifying himself, and he didn't have to do that, you never do have to testify, but the jury flat out hated him, no doubt about that. But Murdaugh's defense attorney Jim Griffin says, oh, it's more than that. Here was a father standing with a shotgun next to his deceased wife and son, and 9 times out of 10, that guy will have done it. But in this case, they never got beyond that. Well, they say the cops were biased because of Murdaugh's opioid addiction and allegations he stole $2.6 million from clients and attempted to fake his own death, all of which was true. Uh, his, uh, His mouthpiece, his attorney mouthpiece, charges state investigators even plan to present concocted evidence. No, please. They didn't have to get to that. And so so it was that now they are, as I mentioned, going to file quite the appeal. I'm not 100% sure how that could possibly fly, but the lawyer in question has lots of questions like, why did the state agents collect DNA evidence for Murdaugh's clothes, but inexplicably didn't do the same for Paul and Murdaugh's wife? They're saying state investigators lied under oath. And, that would be serious if they could prove that. They did not find any guns on the property loaded in such a fashion and all that. And so it was that there's no doubt that Murdaugh, even his lawyer says this, is a cad. Yeah, I guess. A liar. A thief. And no one wants to believe anything he has to say. But, as I've said all along, the fact that he's a cad, liar, and thief doesn't necessarily make him guilty of murder. And I felt that all along. And I know a lot of people are, you know, agreeing with the verdict. And I think he was convicted because he's, you know, an a-hole, period. And I don't think you get to do that. So, 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Oh, plenty more to discuss. Believe me, we haven't even got to Harry yet. John is in Covington, Kentucky. Let's go to the tri-state area. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
What's up?
Well, here's the thing. On Sirius XM, they have a... Obviously, it's a temporary station, but what it is, it's... Mike Wallace, he had a interview show from the late 50s, early 60s.
Sure.
Like the Camelot period of time. Anyway, so he's interviewing... I did not know Sal Mineo tried his hand at rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. We have proof.
Oh, my goodness. So I asked my Echo Dot to, I just wanted to sample it. It might be the worst I've ever heard.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, but this was all a period of time where anybody who had been in a television show or a movie, there was a record label wanting to sign them. And most of these people, and this went on, you know, from the latter 50s through the mid-60s for sure, most of these people did not want to sing these records. Shelley Fabre, one who said, the only problem was I can't sing. Or poor Patty Duke with that horrible soliloquy in Don't Stand There. So on and on it goes. So you knew with Rebel Without a Cause, and that was in 55, that this guy was going to be hit up for singing. And I don't have any evidence, and maybe you do, as far as, I know, like I say, it was 57, there was an album, and there were a couple of singles that made the Hot 100, yeah, I'm sure you heard them, Start Moving in My Direction, that was a top 10 record, God help us.
He said during the interview, God rest his soul, he said during the interview that he's sorry he did it, because he was looking for a quick way to find a buck, and he should have studied acting a little bit more. Now I do know that in the mid '60s, Fred, he was like strung out on pills and this and that, and Fred McMurray, My Three Sons was going. Fred McMurray would give him a cameo appearance on there, trying to help him out a little bit, but you couldn't help the guy. He was, you give him a job and he wouldn't show up on time. He was just a mess. And it's so sad because he was a nice looking young man. He truly was.
He had a lot of problems emotionally, and it didn't help that he hit stardom earlier, because of course you can wind up in places where you otherwise wouldn't be, and not have to account for yourself in many ways. But now, to give him a break as far as the rock and roll stuff, I guarantee you, when they approached him in 57. They were just pushing them to record this stuff because most of these labels are 100% clueless about you know, rock and roll and all of that stuff. And so here it was on Epic, Start Moving in My Direction. So, you know, we're talking about.
I'll give him a break in the fact that Ricky Nelson hit, so they thought they...
Well,
executives thought they could all hit.
It was, yeah, and actually the Ricky Nelson thing was an interesting story, too, but and it wasn't just Ricky. They did that with virtually all of them, and, you know, very often it was Cole picks or things like this. In the case of Mineo, it was Epic, but he had a number of severe emotional problems. And
right.
So that, and again, you know, when you're riding high, making money on, you know, on things like the movies and stuff like that, it's pretty easy to let your demons lay fallow, but they'll come back profusely, to say the least. And so they did, and it was he was murdered, as you know. That was
that was
76, and in West Hollywood. And, allegedly a pizza delivery guy was convicted and wasn't
That's
convicted
correct.
Until 79. And that was interesting because he was, that was like 3 years later. And,
right.
He not only killed Mineo, he did a number of robberies and stuff like that. So he claims he had no idea who Mineo was. But there were questions about whether it was random or whatever. He was paroled in 1990. I don't know what happened to him after that, but that was the deal.
Well, that's the way it goes. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for accepting my call.
Always.
I really appreciate it.
Always. Absolutely.
Bye.
Always good to hear from you. Thank you, John.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We're going to check out the news here in a moment, but before we do, I want to meet Rich. He's a first-time caller. Welcome to WGN Radio. Where are you, Rich?
Platteville, Wisconsin.
Great. Glad to have you.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about Herb Kent.
What about him? The cool gent.
I never saw a definitive reason why he died. It sounds morbid, but man, I listened to him since I was in eighth grade.
Oh,
and
sure.
I was 74. I'm 74 right now. So
right.
Long time listening
right.
to Herb.
Well, see, Herb was 88. And it was sudden. He was on the radio that morning, and so it wasn't unexpected. When you're 88, nothing is. But hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Sure.
And we will pick it up right there. Maybe play something from the cool gents who he allowed to use his name but didn't actually manage. All that and more coming up. We'll talk to Leah and Marcus Hook. Plenty of room for you here. But let's find out what's going on in the WGN Radio newsroom right now on WGN Radio. Cool gents. All right, this is The Night, a flip side on VJ in 1956, and absolutely, you can hear Dee Clark on that. But Dee was not the original lead singer of the Cool Gents. They were formed in 1951 at Marshall High, and the original lead was Cicero Blake, one of my faves. In fact, it reminded me I need to play a Cicero Blake record tonight, and I will. Also, James Harper and Howard McLean, Teddy Long, and it was Teddy Long, who was the second tenor, who actually wrote This Is the Night. Yeah, a fine song all the way around, and they went to Herb Kent, because Herb was already the man in the early 50s when it came to R&B radio, and said, you got to manage us, and Herb said, no, I don't think so, and probably a wise move all the way around, but he did approve them changing their names in his honor to the Cool Gents, and so it was. And we're talking to Rich, who's a first-time caller from Wisconsin, about Herb, and like I say, 88 years old, I don't think there was an autopsy. He'd done the show that morning and then just died. And so I think at 88, you kind of just say old age.
And I agree. It just was morbid interest, I guess.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, I mean, what a life well lived. There are a number of sources that say that he was the longest running jock ever in popular radio. I don't know if it's true or not. I know there were some, times when he wasn't on the air and sometimes when he was doing television and all that. But he was certainly a Chicago presence from the mid-40s until his death. No doubt about it. And I mean, in every venue, for a while he was on MAQ acting and radio dramas, for God's sake. So there was nothing he didn't do. And of course, you probably have a copy of his autobiography as well. You should. And
I do.
Yeah. What was really sad, after his death, his daughter, Robin, actually sued because contesting the will, because everything was left to his girlfriend / caregiver. And Robin said he had dementia by this time. He was not in his right mind. Robin and her son were left out completely of that will. So I didn't hear any upshot whether that was ever resolved, but I think not.
Well, he was an inspiration.
Oh, of course. He was wonderful. And, he's another case of a guy, when you're listening to him, you know he loved the music. And that makes a difference. It just comes through, on the air that he had had a relationship with that. And, of course, even in the 90s, he had Steppin' at 7 Club, on WLS-TV and all that kind of stuff. So he was the man. He was doing everything. And, of course, he was the ultimate when WVON started in 63. He was the first guy they hired.
And I was... I was a kid, and I was in eighth grade, and I would listen sometimes at late at night.
Yeah.
And I remember him playing Shop Around by The Miracles.
Yes.
And I got hooked on the show.
Okay. So you were mostly listening to him on VON.
That's correct.
All right. Yeah.
And listened for forever, and a lot of otherwise lonely Saturday nights. He filled in. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. And, it was, I guess it was about 4 years later, they fired him. And pretty much everybody else, I'm sure it was cost cutting, but they, actually, it was more than 4 years, maybe a decade later. They blamed his lack of energy. And I remember at the time saying, you got to be kidding me. You got to come up with something better than that. And, he didn't miss a beat. He was back on the air at XFM, minutes later, and then, of course, VAZ. So yeah. You
well,
betcha.
I thank you for all that info. I didn't know.
Oh, sure. Well, in the mid-60s, when you were a kid, you were probably too young, but he owned Times Square Club, which was an R&B club on South Wabash in Chicago. And that was a place to be.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I was a Southside kid, Polish upbringing, Catholic. So he was, I don't know what you want to call it.
Yeah, well, he was uniquely Chicago in the best sense of the word.
Yes.
All right. I hope you'll call me again, Rich.
I will. Thank you, Raleigh.
Thanks. Appreciate the call. All right. So 888-876-5593. You'll get to Leah and Marcus Hook in moments. But yeah, talking radio, of course, you know I'm talking the Sea Crane Company. In fact, I got to write them because they sent me a CC Wi-Fi, and it is so good. In fact, John is listening to it right now. But I have just about everything in the catalog, and I've never gotten a product I don't like because Bob Crane is absolutely a kindred spirit. When he heard the lousy state of radio reception many years ago, he thought, I can do better than this. And that's the hallmark of the Sea Crane radios. Every one of them has just terrific AM and FM reception. You just will not beat it. But all of them have other features you don't find anywhere else as well. And the CC Skywave is one of the best ways to be prepared for those occasional emergencies, those extreme weather conditions that knock out the power. Well, the CC Skywave, of course, it has NOAA weather, and it sounds an alarm when an alert goes off, and that'll, you know, give you advance notice of that. But great reception on AM, great reception on FM, clear audio, and a wonderful pocket travel radio because it's got the shortwave and the aviation band. Now, with the shortwave bands, one of the things that you're going to realize is in a real emergency, very often the first communications are going out that way. But the aviation band is a real kick if you want to listen to air traffic control and stuff like that. And it runs up to 70 hours on two AA batteries. It's a great little radio. Now, you can go to ccradio.com anytime and take a look at it, the CC Skywave, ccradio.com. Of course, it's available online at REI or BuyMart or Amazon, but hey, for the real deal, go to ccradio.com. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, the Sea Crane Company is there 24 hours a day to answer all your questions by phone. You can place an order that way, too. And that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. World's best customer service. So, check out that CC Skywave from the Sea Crane Company. You tell them, right? Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. James enjoying that just too much. Yes, Cicero Blake. That's what became a Cicero Blake after the Cool Gents, and that was just terrific. That was on Renee, and Renee was Leo Austell's label, and what a great little label. Barbara Green was on it, but Cicero Blake, 1964, Sad Feeling. Yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. All right, so 888-876-5593. That takes us to Leah and Marcus Hook. What's happening tonight, Leah?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay. This is kind of going to be a weird question, but okay, you mentioned candida, and that's like a weird disease, right?
That's a fungus. And it comes in a variety of flavors, so to speak. Candida aureus right now is what's been going through the nursing homes and stuff. Candida albicans is what is the yeast infection, as they call it, the vaginal infection.
Okay. Wasn't there a song called Candida?
Oh, sure. Yeah, Tony Orlando and Dawn. And it was Tony Wine.
Okay. I thought so.
Well, it's funny when that came out, because Tony Wine wrote it with Irwin Levine, and they were part of Don Kirshner's stable, the Brill Building writers, and they both wrote for his Screen Gems Publishing, which became EMI later. But I remember at the time I thought, well, I guess Tony had a yeast infection, you know. Well, it turned out that that wasn't it. I don't know if she ever did or didn't, or was even aware that there was that, but what it was she had written the song, and they were looking for a Spanish girl's name. Rosita had been taken. Juanita was already a hit. Maria had happened, you know, and so they're going through it, and they wanted a three-syllable kind of Spanish name, and she grew up in Spanish Harlem, actually, and so, you know, all of the obvious ones were gone, so she just toyed with Candida, and that's how it happened. So what I remember when it came out, I thought, are they out of their minds?
I can hear it in my head. I can hear it.
Well, it was a huge hit, and
it wasn't it.
Yeah.
Can you play it or no?
I'm afraid I can, but and actually they weren't the first.
Would you play it?
Yeah, they weren't the first group to record it. But Tony Orlando was interesting. He was a song plugger, but before that, in the early 60s on Epic, he had like three hits, Halfway to Paradise and Bless You and all that, and they were big, but then he just, you know, fell out of favor, became a song plugger. He was working for April Blackwood Music, and he was Clive Davis there too at the time, and so he knew all the jocks and all that kind of stuff, and so Candida had been recorded, and I think Frankie Parris was the lead singer of the group that recorded it, and it just Tony Wine and Irwin Levine didn't like that version, and the Tokens produced it, actually, which was interesting, and Hank Madras from the Tokens said to Tony Orlando, hey, could you redo the lead? And so he said, you know, sure, I can do that, but he was skeptical because he had no right to do that with his contract with April Blackwood. And he was really afraid that, you know, this was going to get discovered and all this kind of stuff. He'd lose his job and all that. But the deal was that he did it, and Jay Siegel from the Tokens and another singer, Robin Green, did the background vocals. And it was released by the group that they called Dawn. The guy who was a promotion guy for Bell Records had a daughter named Dawn, so they picked it because he couldn't say he was Tony Orlando. He didn't want to admit he did the record. And so,
right.
Hence Dawn. They used the Bell Records guy's kid's name. And that was the deal. There was no Dawn, by the way. And later there was Thelma and Joyce, of course. Right. But when they first recorded that, it was Jay Siegel and Robin Green. There was no Dawn. And, of course, you know, after the first album, which had a number of hits, unfortunately, like Knock Three Times and all that.
And Tie Yellow Ribbon?
Well, that was later.
That was later.
Yes, okay. I'm afraid they didn't stop. But nonetheless, once that became so big, Tony was no longer afraid of losing his day job, and then they got Dawn. Yeah. You know, they got a couple of gals, Thelma and Joyce, to be what would Dawn, and so
Tony Orlando and Dawn. But
at the time, I don't think that Tony Wine realized it was a parasitic fungus. I don't think
because
which surprises
whenever you
me.
Mention that word, I think of the song.
Yeah, right. Well, right. Well, most women think of the yeast infection. That's the deal. But
maybe you can play it later on for some people that might never have heard it.
There's somebody who hasn't heard Candida. All right, I'll play it for you. I promise.
Okay, thank you, Raleigh. You're a doll.
My pleasure. All right, so sure, Candida. But I remember when it came, I was just absolutely thunderstruck. Who the hell would do this? And, you know, until I realized Tony Wine wrote it, I thought, you know, don't tell me some guy who doesn't even know what this is. And then when I found it was Tony, I was like, she's got to know. And, you know, allegedly she didn't. I don't know. And that's the deal, though. But yeah, Candida albicans is the culprit for women with yeast infections. But Candida actually is a variety of fungi, and it's no small thing when it becomes bloodborne, and it can. So when you're looking at Candida aureus or other things, when they're talking about this, it's not just I got an itchy infection. It is something that can, depending on what else is going on with you, be life-threatening. And it's opportunistic. So, you know, people who HIV positive people very often get a lot of Candida because there's immunity issues. And so there you go. And yeah, we can all sing it together soon. And I know that Adam was kind enough to tell me when I was supposed to go away today, but I this hour anyway, but I forget. So I'll just prattle on for another minute, and if it's too long, then he'll just cut me off, and that'll be fine. So 888-876-5593. We've got Hypocrite Harry selling his soul to keep Meghan. Meghan was disappointed to learn Harry wasn't as rich as she thought. Well, yes. So what do we have here? Henpecked Prince Harry sensationally sold out his family.
5630, if you can hear me.
Yes. Oh, and you know, this is a really good thing if you didn't want to hear any slime from the checkout line, because it's time to go, and we've got another 2 hours of this, and we'll pick it up right there with Harry or not. Hopefully your call's coming up on WGN Radio.
Won't come out if they know that you're about, 'cause they couldn't match the glow of your eyes. And oh, who am I? Just an ordinary guy, trying hard to win me first prize. Oh, Candida, we could make it together. The further from here, girl, the better. Where the air is fresh and clean. Candida, just take my hand and I'll lead you. I promise life will be sweeter. And it says so in my dream.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Yep, not the original 45 version on Bell. Yeah. Resung after they got Dawn, right? Telma and all. But originally, as I was mentioning, it was Tony Orlando moonlighting and Jay Siegel doing backup. And pretty much it. Nobody expected it to go number three, but that's what it did on Bell in 1970. And then, of course, number one records as well. So that's the deal with Candida, which, according to Tony Wine, was not about a marauding fungus, though it is. All right, Jean is a first-time caller in Delavan, Wisconsin. Welcome, Jean.
Hi, it's good to talk with you. I do enjoy your program and hear some music that is new to me, and I'm enjoying it. But several months ago, a woman called in, and she asked you to play a song by the Beatles that was called She's Leaving Home.
Yeah, from Sgt. Pepper's. I probably said I wouldn't play it.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I only play the...
Yeah, I wondered why.
I only play the stuff I like. Now, occasionally I'll make an exception if there's a reason, such as when Leah called wanting to know about the history of Candida. I played some of that. Uh-huh. But see, the bumpers are mine, and I'm willing to kind of share them with people if it falls in what I like. In fact, mm-hmm. I've walked out of jobs when they haven't let me play the bumpers I like. This is my little fiefdom, and most of what I like is obscure R&B oldies. Some of it's Brazilian, whatever. But when it's this wimpy, mm-hmm. when it's wimpy white crud, I usually won't play it.
Oh, is that what you consider the
Yes,
song?
I consider Sgt. Pepper's to be one of the worst albums ever. Absolutely so. And believe me, I was playing that stuff at the time. And I remember when that came out and I thought, uh-oh, I can see the way this is going. And then we got into album rock and all that crap that I won't even take the time to denigrate because it's not worth the words.
I see.
Yeah, now you do see. Well, okay, you got it, and you don't have to agree, but the bumpers are mine.
Oh, I just wondered
okay,
why.
Now you know.
You know, Now I know.
Yep.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So 888-876-5593. And of course, for those like minds that love the obscure R&B, it's a kick that it's on WGN or on any radio station anymore. That's for sure. And I love to do it. But yeah, we make exceptions when there's a reason, like I knew why Leah wanted everybody to hear a little of Candida. And sorry it wasn't the original 45. When it's songs like that, I've got them on a computer, but I've never listened to them, so I don't know what we're going to get when I play them. It's like, yeah, they're on the list, but I don't know what it is. So 888-876-5593. Gino is in Milwaukee. What's happening tonight, Gino?
Hi, Raleigh. I'm a 17th time caller.
Excellent.
And I don't suppose you're going to play my request.
It depends on what it is.
Down by the old mill stream by Mitch Miller and the Gang.
No sing along. No sing alongs here.
How are you? I haven't talked with you for a while.
Yeah, well, you know, just frazzled. John had a stroke February 2nd, so
I've been keeping up with that.
So you know that takes most of my time. But we got a new studio together. You know, originally I just wanted, because you know therapy could last up to a year, but not forever. I just wanted to do something temporary and get back on the air. But what I discovered was when you say the word temporary and you say the word wired broadband with it, that's like hitting control alternate delete. Nobody has it. They say, well, we have wireless. Yeah, well, that won't do me any good. I need a wired connection. No way. So I finally just had to rent a place for a year.
Huh.
And that's the deal. Yeah, so I'm and I've got broadband, and you can hear it, though I'm planning to upgrade it. I was talking to them today, but nonetheless, I wish it was fiber, but it's not.
You lead such a busy life, I find it hard to believe you have time to play solitaire on your computer.
Well, what do you think I'm doing right now? You got to be kidding me, of course. All 3 hours I'm doing that. So it's funny you say solitaire because, interestingly, one of the things in occupational therapy they had John do was solitaire, and he discovered that he hates it. So... So now they've got them building things, some STEM project with blocks of wood. So what have you been doing?
Not much. But I'm celebrating the second anniversary. It was 2 years ago this month that I first discovered your show.
Well, thank you. How did you discover it?
I wasn't exactly DXing. I think my radio was tuned to GN for some other reason during the day, and then I turned it on at night, and I heard your show, and I was absolutely blown away by how much you know about popular music.
Useless information, but it works well on the radio.
Oh, it's important to me because, you know, music on the radio I grew up with, like a lot of people. And
sure.
It's always important to me.
Sure. Now, did you grow up in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Then you had WOKY. You had a wonderful, and WMIL, of course, but OKY was wonderful.
Yes, and WRIT.
Yes, of course.
Although, when I was 6 and 7 and 8, my mother controlled the radio in our house.
Oh, okay. So,
and she was a baseball fan.
All right.
So our radio was always tuned to WEMP, the Milwaukee Braves baseball station.
Yeah, WEMP. Jack Lee was their program director. He was a very nice guy. Yeah, I remember
him
fondly.
And when the games weren't on, they played music. And so the music I listened to then was... Terry Como, Patty Page, Eddie Fisher.
Yes, Jack Jones, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
Les
that's
Paul and Mary Ford.
Absolutely, Vaya con Dios, of course. How high is the moon? And all that. Yeah, no, EMP was great. And, of course, TMJ, can't forget that. And
yeah, they were always like the premier radio station.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They still are.
Yeah, well, I don't know either, but they absolutely were. And Mike, I'm trying to think of his last name now, but he was their program director, and I really liked him, too. So, yeah, and, of course, George Wilson over at OKY. There were a lot of great people in Milwaukee radio.
Speaking of which, I have a music trivia question for you.
Uh-oh.
Can you tell me who was the first person to record a rock and roll record in the state of Iowa?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I got to think about it. Of course, the first person that comes
to
mind.
Don't looking it up.
No. Well, what are you kidding? How do I look at that? What, the Des Moines Radio Hall of Fame or something? No, of course, the Everly Brothers were from Iowa, but they had left Iowa by that time. I don't know. I know the Iowa Rock and Roll Hall of Fame probably has a whole exhibit of it, but I don't know. Who is it?
King Sabornik.
Oh, my God. No, I wouldn't have come up with that. But, yeah, I'll bet you that. Have you been to the Iowa Rock and Roll Music Association Hall of Fame?
Not at all. First of all, when you mentioned his name about a year ago,
yeah,
that was the first time I heard it in almost a half a century.
Yeah.
And yet, it seemed like only yesterday. So I just did a little Googling and to look, and he recorded it under a different name.
Right.
And he made several attempts. He was not successful as an artist, so he decided to become a DJ.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll bet you. Now I got to go to that Hall of Fame because I bet you it's online as well because I bet you they've got an exhibit. And that's been there a while. So neat. Absolutely neat. Yeah, Iowa is underrepresented when it comes to rock and roll.
Yeah, you don't exactly think of it as a hotbed of rock and roll.
No, but you know, like I say, I know they got a rock and roll museum, and I know it attracts a number of people. So, yeah. Well, neat.
He was, he emceed, when I was a teenager, he emceed a show.
Yeah.
Several rock bands at State Fair Park, and he kept teasing the audience, schmoozing with the audience, saying, oh, he might sing a song. And he'd say, nah, I don't think so. And then, maybe I will. You know, and so as the show ended, all of a sudden there was a snare drum, and he launched into Chris Kenner's I Like It Like That.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And was he good?
All right. Well, yeah. Good for him. So
I was kind of weird that I didn't know DJs could sing.
Well, some can and most can't. but yeah, the Escorts were around, and there were a number of people who came out of Iowa, but not many hits as national hits. But I think the Escorts kind of did okay for a while out of Cedar Rapids, and who are the Do's and the Don'ts? They were around. Trying to think who else. But yeah, Iowa is underrepresented. And of course, most people will think about Clear Lake and all that, but no.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything, not that there's not a reason to remember that, but you know, I mean, KIOA had some terrific local music on it. So yes. All right.
Okay, so a song request?
Okay, what do you want to hear?
Well, since you're not going to play Mitch Miller.
Yes, you're right about that.
How about... Okay, here's a guy who... he did a remake of something I think Nat King Cole did as a pop standard, but he did more a rockabilly version of it. And, okay, his first name is a four-letter word. His last name is a four-letter word, and he recorded on a Sam Phillips label.
Oh, my God.
All right. You can get this.
I don't know. A four-letter word, of course, the first thing I thought was Frankie Ford, but Frankie's too many letters. All right, so will you tell me the song that he redid?
Well, that'll give you his name.
Oh.
Okay, I'll tell you, yeah. Pretend.
Say what?
Pretend.
Oh, all right. Well, that could be anybody. That could be anybody, including Steve, that TV guy. Why can't I see his face, but I can't. The guy who used to do The Tonight Show. Everybody did Pretend. Brenda Lee did Pretend, for God's sakes. So
the one I'm thinking of that got... I think it got a lot of airplay. It's by Carl Mann.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's probably on this computer, actually. But I'm trying to think how many... In fact, I got to look it up. Let's look it up under secondhand songs. There's got to be like 300 recordings of this.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, there's a lot. Let's see. Songs. Pretend. Pretend you're happy when you're blue. It isn't very hard to do. Let's see.
It's got a really nice guitar in there.
So here's one version of it that has over 100 Billy Vaughan and Lute Douglas and Lawrence Welk, but I don't think that's the same Pretend. All right, there's several, apparently there's several songs, Pretend. So
he had two hits. One of them was Pretend, and one of them was Mona Lisa.
Right, right. And both are, you know, covers by Nat King Cole, of course. And Carl Mann was a West Tennessee guy, and he was late on Sun Records. In fact, when you were first saying Sun, I wasn't really thinking of that right away. But
he was what? I'm sorry, I can't.
He was late. He was like in 59. You know, he wasn't like 51, 52. He wasn't.
Oh, okay. He wasn't one of the big four.
He wasn't at the label early. He would have been there, like I say, 59 maybe. You know, toward the end. And so didn't he get drafted or something? He wound up in the service. And then I don't know
anything about him.
Oh, well, later he was on Monument, and that nothing happened there. And he was an alcoholic. And I remember the Monument period, but that was later. But yes, he was on Sun, but that would have been like 59, I think. So, but I can find it. Absolutely, I can find Pretend by Carl Mann. I'm sure of it.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Talk to you later.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we got to do that. I will find Pretend. And we will talk to Valerie in Warrenville and James on the South Side and you too coming up on WGN Radio.
Pretend you're happy when you're blue. It isn't very hard to do. And you will find happiness without an end if you pretend. Remember, anyone can dream, and nothing's bad as it may seem. The little things you haven't got could be a lot if you pretend. You'll find the love you can share, one you can call your own. Just close your eyes, you'll be there. You'll never be alone.
Well, there he is. That's Carl Mann, and yes, later on Sun, that's for sure. Pretend, and I knew it would be on this computer. So was Janet, I think, and that was what Gina was talking about when we talked about the first rock and roll record in Iowa, but not nationally, of course. That was on Fredlow. Maybe I'll find Janet or not. Hopefully, they'll find you calling soon on WGN Radio.
Five foot tall, eyes are green, the cutest girl you've ever seen. Well, that's a Janet. Hey, well, that's a Janet. Well, all right. Well, that's a Janet. Janet is her name. Sweet or slow, rock or roll, when that chick takes off, she goes, goes, goes. Well, that's a Janet. Yeah, well, that's a Janet. Well, all right. Well, that's a Janet. Janet is her name. Yeah, yeah. Tall, eyes are green, the cutest girl you've ever seen. That's a Janet. Yeah, well, that's a Janet. Well, all right. Well, that's a Janet. Janet is a name. Oh, oh.
I'm Riley James. Arguably rockabilly, not rock and roll, but nonetheless, that is the first rock and roll record recorded in Iowa. In Davenport, actually, that was on the Fred Lowe label, which was an interesting little story, too. It didn't start out as Fred Lowe. It was the, I think, the Inner City Recording Service, and they were doing acetates and for a variety of things. They were a transcription service, obviously, and as I say, from the 40s. When they decided to branch out into releasing records for sale, Fred Lowe was Frederick and his wife Lois, and so they owned it. And it was in Davenport. And yeah, that was Jerry Martin, who of course doesn't exist. Sort of an interesting story. Jerry from Jerry Lewis and Martin from Dean Martin. And it really was Leighton Zbornik, as we mentioned. And actually, it really was a group. And Leighton wound up kind of co-opting it when it got released, which was 58, even though I think the Hall of Fame says it's 57, but it was 58. Regardless, in any event, Leighton did a number of things in Kansas City and all that kind of stuff. And the kind of stuff that Bob in Memphis would just love. But that's it. But yes, the first rock and roll record in Iowa, not anywhere else. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-ROLLY. I'll have to find that Do's and Don'ts record. They had been the Escorts. And it was on Redbird, actually. And it had the misfortune. And it was sadly interesting because the Escorts were like a really big deal in the early 60s, the mid-60s. And they finally got this deal on Redbird. And they made them change their names to the Do's and the Don'ts. But then Redbird went away. And you know that whole story. George Goldner, unfortunately, and his gambling problems, and Lieber and Stoller wanted no part of it. And so actually, anybody toward the end had no part of anything resembling promotion. And so I wonder if She Loves Me wasn't promoted. All right. And so we conclude the Iowa portion of the program, I do believe. Valerie in Warrenville, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, my dear. I'm glad you're online today.
Yes, indeed. Well, good to hear from you.
I'm calling about that Candida song.
Oh, yes. Big hit.
I didn't know it was a VD until I was in my 20s or 30s.
It's not a VD, by the way.
I thought it was a female name.
Well, let's, by the way, say it's not VD. And this is important because people who get it is not a sexually transmitted disease. Certainly, it can be, but that's not normally what the case is. It has to do with your immune function being compromised. And you've got Candida in your body as a normal flora, but overgrowth can occur in a variety of ways. And so I wouldn't call it an STD by any means.
Well, for me, in my personal timeline, that's when I was introduced to it. Other than a female first name was during the female inspection.
Okay, yeast infections.
Yeah,
but that overgrowth can come from a variety of things. And I know because, you know, I'm the autoimmune queen and I'm very immune compromised. And I was about 12 or 13 the first time I came down with it. And my mother just hit the roof. What are you doing? And all that. And the doctor had to say, look, nuns come in here with this. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with her immunity. So, yeah.
Well, it wasn't explained to me as a in your body flora.
Yeah. Well, it is. Anyway,
it was part of the right. list of stuff that they were testing as part of my annual visit.
Like, right, and that's
what?
Okay. Yeah, no, that's okay. Candida albicans. It's opportunistic, so it absolutely can thrive in a number of ways. So. Anyway, and it obviously, according to Tony Wine, was a girl's name. But, you know, hence the song comes out and most people were sort of laughing.
Yeah. But for the ones that for the younger set, you know, my half generation, I guess, the tail end of
what are we trying to say here? There must be something we're trying to say here. What would it be?
Gen X. I'm not Gen X. Gen X would be my grandkids if I had any.
All right. Well, Regardless, yeah.
I'm a '60s born baby, early '60s born baby. So I'm
very good.
The tail end of that. My sister was the beginning of it.
In any event, Candida is Latin, means white. It comes from Candidus, and white was associated with purity, and I'm not going to go into why it makes sense for this particular fungal infection, but it does. Does it. In any event, it is a child's name as well.
Ah, okay. So,
and, you know, going way back.
Okay. All right. The other topic that I was having in the back of my head before that music came up was I've been reading a very interesting book that is tough for me to read, and I usually don't have problems. It's The Reconciliation, How to Be a Force for Change by Jody Wilson-Raybould. She was the Canadian PM.
Okay.
Prime Minister? No. She was part of the Canadian cabinet, but she's First Nations.
Yeah.
And I'm reading the book from Denver because nobody in the Midwest has it.
This thing was only published last year.
Yeah. But there's only one book below the lower 48 that I could get access to.
You can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, well, you need to scratch to be able to do that, darling. Which is why I hug the library very hard.
Well, right. You also, you know, it's an audiobook and Kindle and all that, so it's out there. It's not rare.
Yeah. Well, Hoopla and the Libby that I have access to don't have it in there, which means my library district and group of district didn't even know it existed.
Well, now that they do know it existed, can they request it? Because it sounds like the kind of book that would be given to libraries upon request.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to stick it into Hoopla.
Right, I would think, compared to a lot of popular writing that's available, I would think that this kind of stuff would be made available just by virtue of subject matter. And you might, McClelland and Stewart published it. So I would think that you could get a library to get this without too much of a problem.
Yeah, well, I sicked the subject onto the requisitions department for this similar to us here in the lower 48.
Oh.
Since this is a Canuck thing.
Well, whatever. You know, I mean, it's not the kind of thing I would read, but I'm sure that it is probably very worthwhile. I say that because I try to lower my blood pressure and not find ways to raise it.
Well, I was trying to lower my blood pressure for something else, which is why while I was on hold, I was reading Mercedes Lackey's Into the West. And with the first page and a half, my blood pressure went up.
Well, see, that's why I read the National Enquirer. It's really simple. And the Examiner. So yes, you know, absolutely. As long as it has absolutely no substance whatsoever. And by the way, for people who are of the mind to be activists, books like this are very, very insightful, and not meaning in any way to put it down, just saying that it won't be in my library.
I go through phases when I want to read something like Lackey's Valdemar or America's Test Kitchen dealing with vegetables or geek knitting or listening to Rammstein, which you don't want to know about.
No, I absolutely don't. All right, Valerie, anything else?
we're done for the night, and thank you for taking your time.
Always.
And you have yourself a good one.
All right. Good luck on getting that book. I bet you can.
All right.
All right.
Thank
thanks.
You, my dear.
Sure thing. Yeah, things like that are not going to, you know, top the New York Times bestseller list, but usually they would be available for library copies and things of that nature. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, we've got James on the south side, we got Johnny D, and we got plenty of room for you too. And of course, I do have the Inquirer and the Examiner. Yes, brave stars fighting for life. All right, a whole list of them. I didn't even know they were sick. Well, we'll find out. Again, the headline writers really deserve praise for this. Oh, we've got Tiger Woods' new sex scandal, too. Yeah, and as we were saying earlier, hypocrite Harry selling his soul. Not sure where you sell your soul. I haven't seen that section on eBay, but I'll keep looking. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I'm making this song for all the people who at times in their lives feel bad. You know when you feel like even your blues have blues?
If it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's another. It's a crazy mixed up world, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Life is full of strife, people just aren't nice. Everybody's talking smack, running games on this and that. Racial resentment adds to discontentment. Talk to any guy, he'll tell you taxes are too high. Books, movies are corrupt, suicide is way up. It's all a sorry lot. Some folks say it's cause of pride. Phony ego trips. Wow, everyone has flipped.
If it ain't one thing,
it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's another.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and of course that's Richard Dimples Fields. 1982 on Boardwalk, would have turned 81 today, died January 12th, 2000 in Novato, California, the Bay Area, stroke, just 57 years old. What a loss. I thought he was tremendous. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh and Johnny D is in Ohio. What's happening tonight, Johnny D?
Oh, yeah, you caught me over here unprepared. Hi, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
Yeah, can't complain. How about yourself?
That's good. No, I was listening. You know, I wasn't going to call because I don't want to be a nuisance or wear out my welcome or whatever they say. You know.
Yeah,
call too many times.
Let me tell you,
Tuesday
night callers are absent. I'll talk to vegetables. So by all means, call. All right, we're glad.
Well, I'm one up from a vegetable.
Yeah, well,
store.
Very much so.
No, but Lita opened up a can of worms with that Candida thing, you know.
Uh-huh.
And because she was talking about that, and then the other girl, Valerie or whatever, you know, just not
yeah, Valerie.
Is that her name, Valerie?
Valerie, yeah.
Hey, Valerie. Anyhow, yeah, Valerie, and then Lila, talking about that Candida thing song, you know. And so I'm thinking, with the way my mind works, Raleigh, now, he used to be a comedian. I haven't seen him in a long time. I think his last name was Dice or something like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew Dice Clay, was it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Andrew Dice Clay.
If you remember that guy's act, man, he was pretty vulgar, remember?
Yes.
So, I remember him saying one time, and you know, this is how my mind works, and it's not dirty. There's no profanity in it, you know, I wouldn't do that. It's just a thought, you know, the joke. He goes, you know, these women,
what's that bread thing they get? You know, that yeast thing? He goes, what are you doing, growing a loaf of bread down there or something?
All righty then.
Yes. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, apparently a lot of other people did too. He was the first comedian ever to sell out Madison Square Garden for two consecutive nights. So, yes, big deal.
I haven't seen him in a long time. Is he still out there?
Well, he's absolutely still still living. Yeah, he lives in Sherman Oaks in Los Angeles. And he sadly last year developed Bell's palsy. And but he's doing.
I know a guy. I worked with a guy with that.
Well, yeah, a lot of people get it. And it's been okay for him. He's continuing to perform live. So he's
is that where, like, where your face droops and everything?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, this guy that I work with, he told me he got that. He said, listen.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. Stay right there.
All
right. Everything stops for the news, including us here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Brenda Holloway, and it was Stephanie and Madison who requested Every Little Bit Hurts. Happy to play it. 1964 on Tamla. Ed Cobb wrote that, and he was an interesting guy. He was originally a member of the Four Preps. Yeah, more money for you and me. And he was probably 10 years with them, 56 through 66. And at the same time, and, you know, the Four Preps were pretty much hootenanny folk, if you will, certainly a definitive white group, to say the least. And at the same time, he's writing some great R&B records. He wrote Tainted Love, Gloria Jones originally, of course, and then later Soft Cell. He wrote Dirty Water for the Standells, but he wrote Every Little Bit Hurts, among other things. He had over 32 gold and platinum records and 3 Grammy nominations, didn't actually win any, but most people who knew the name knew him from the Four Preps, but the reality was his songwriting really trumped that. He was also a champion horse breeder. And, in fact, was president of the Idaho Racing Commission. Sadly, died of leukemia. That was a while ago, 1999, I think, in Honolulu. He was only about 61 years old. Really a loss. All right, back to Johnny D. in Youngstown.
I'm going to ask you this. Could you hear, like, somebody like myself being on hold when you're away doing the news? Could you hear me?
No, absolutely not, because I pot that all down. Could I if I wanted to? Yes. Would I? No.
Good. Because I was over here busting out laughing, you know, thinking about that Andrew Dice Clay, and I could see him in my mind's eye. If you remember how his act was, you know?
Yeah.
I could see him in my mind's eye, and he's going, what's that? that bread thing they get? You know, that yeast thing? What are they doing, growing a loaf of bread down there?
Yeah, well, so, yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was.
Well, he's done very well. Andrew Clay Silverstein from Brooklyn.
Oh, he's Jewish.
Absolutely. He's from Sheep's Head Bay.
Okay. Well, you know, New York. Bob Bell's palsy, he has.
Yeah, he yes. Although he's been doing very well. So for some people, it's just a minor inconvenience. For other people, it's quite the bout. And very often, it's also opportunistic, secondary to other things.
Well, this guy I worked with, you know, and this was a long time ago, man. He told me, he says, John, he says, don't ever ride with your window down, you know, in the car.
Mm-hmm.
He says, don't ever ride with your window. He says, I got Bell's palsy. I said, what the hell's that? You know, I didn't know what it was. My face, huh?
Usually, like I say, it's opportunistic. It's caused after a viral infection very often. And
because I'm thinking to myself, what the heck are you talking about?
No, it's
don't ever ride with. Right. I'm thinking to myself, what would people do? Everybody must have had Bell's palsy back in the 50s and 60s before air conditioning.
Well, every dog in the world would get it. Now, as far as this goes,
all the dogs,
right.
Did you ever see them with their tongue sticking out and everything?
Absolutely, they're loving every minute of it. And like I say, very often it's viral infection, and you've seen a lot of that post-COVID, but for most people, the symptoms start to improve quickly, like within a few weeks, but for others, it's 6 months or longer, and it is neurological, but it's swelling and inflammation. It's a temporary paralysis. It's not in any way stroke-related.
Yeah, well, you know, he told me his face was drooping or something.
Yeah, right. Stress can be a factor, but again, usually, if you look at the history, there's very often a viral infection beforehand.
Maybe that's what he had, but he was. He handled his stress by eating. He weighed about 400 pounds.
Well, that won't help. That won't help him either.
No, he was a big guy, but look, fortunately for him, he was a forklift driver, you know, with a forklift, you know?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so he never got off that thing much, you know.
Well.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, man, that forklift's doing a heck of a lot of work. It's got to pick up these big, you know, crates of thing, parts and everything, and then got to hold him, too, you know.
Yeah, right. Huh? That's hilarious. Got to hold him, too. I like that. All right.
All right, now wait a minute. I got a song request.
Oh, you do, do
David
you?
David Crosby.
No, yeah, right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
It's I was thinking of this song earlier, and I want to request it. It's called "Bustin' Loose." You'll play that, won't you? By the Soul Searchers.
If it's here, I'm writing this down.
I want to hear that.
I'm writing.
Bustin' Loose.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know, but I don't know if it's here or not. But if it is, you'll hear it. If it's not, I'll get it.
All right, boy, this phone, I'm getting so much echo. I'm going to call from Caesar's Palace from now on.
All right, good deal. Yeah, downstairs, right. That's
bye
perfect.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
I'll call the rest of the week.
Well, right, no, bye by bye. All means, don't hesitate. Always good to hear from you.
No, I don't want to be a nuisance.
Yes, talk all to right. you soon. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And Johnny is in Austin. All right, Johnny going. What's going on tonight?
I'm enjoying your show tonight, as always. I've been listening to this KJ station that plays some really good songs that I've never heard before. And I sit there with my pen and paper a lot, and I've got a internet radio that displays what's playing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll keep a running list of stuff I haven't heard before, but I'll tell you, I heard a song that just blew me away, and I had never heard it before, although I don't think this recording artist really ever got the recognition he deserved, and I'm talking about Lenny Welch and his version of the Skyliners hit, Since I Don't Have You.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Whoa, I mean, and that was he recorded for, what was it, Atlantic or Atco in about 74. He recorded I think it was Commonwealth or some. It was something back in 1970 called "Breaking Up Is Hard to Do." It was a ballad.
Uh-huh.
This guy was really good.
Oh, he was great, and he's done a ton of stuff actually, and a lot of it, you know, didn't become hits. Originally, he was on Decca, and then he was on Cadence, you know, as far as Cadence for a long time, and then on Cap. Of course, had hits on Cap. And but the later stuff was really kind of tasty. He even did some country stuff.
That I didn't know, but fortunately I was on, or I wouldn't even have known this. He was on at, I think it was ATCO or Atlantic.
He was on ATCO.
Back in 74, and I was on their mailing list, and he did God, I can't remember, The Glory of Love and.
On ATCO, he did Sunday Kind of Love and Goodnight, My Love.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
There were several he did on ATCO.
Yeah, yeah. And Since I Don't Have You was on Mainstream.
I know. There's one version of it on YouTube, and it's pretty clean.
Yeah, yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
My all-time favorite. Yeah, it's
never
nice.
I've heard it before.
My all-time favorite by him is I Need Someone.
Yeah, I know. I've heard you say that before, and that's readily available. I've got two of his CDs, and that's it.
Right. Yeah.
And then you also played an Ella Fitzgerald song called "Soldier Boy," which was fantastic.
Yes.
And I went and looked at my CDs of Ella Fitzgerald, and I just had two. And I said, I've got to talk to Gary about this, and he just got. I got it today. It's a 3-CD set. From the UK, and it's called Ella Fitzgerald the Singles.
Yeah.
And it's got 62 songs on it.
Okay.
62, yeah.
Okay.
She was, you know, back in Houston, Texas, back in the 50s, you can find a picture of my dad bailing her out of jail.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She was at a concert at the Houston Music Hall, and the police raided the place because there was supposedly a dice game going on in the back, and you know how it was back then.
Oh, yeah.
And hauled them all off to jail, and there's this picture of my dad with Ella Fitzgerald, and he was so angry. I mean, he was on the city council then, I believe.
Yeah.
And, He was on in some capacity of the city of Houston anyway. So he went down there, and there's this picture of him with Ella Fitzgerald, and he looked really not happy.
Yes.
And she didn't look happy either.
Oh, I'm sure she wasn't.
But he always really loved her music, and I was probably at that time a little too young to appreciate it. But she... That's a Soldier Boy song I never heard in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there's another couple, Lenny Welch. I don't think I play them on KG. I probably should. It was a two-sided thing on Cap. Please Help Me, I'm Fallen, and Just One Smile.
Never heard him do country before.
Oh, yeah, really nice stuff.
There's another. I'm looking at all my CDs right now, and for the life of me, I can't find it. But one is called My... One Sincere or something like that.
Are You Sincere?
That's a real good one too.
Yeah, that was a hit.
If you have time, play one of those.
Okay.
It'd be kind of nice.
Well, I'll play Since I Don't Have You because maybe somebody else hasn't heard it.
Don't be playing any more of those wimpy pop records.
Yeah, right. The rockabilly stuff. No, I'm done with that. But
I was talking about the poor lady that called it.
Oh.
Probably got her feelings hurt because she was asking you about that wimpy pop song by the Beatles.
Right. Well, right. And yeah, you could hear her tone saying, "You consider that, you know, that kind of thing." Yeah, lady, I consider that. Go away. Right. No. The bumpers are mine, and I don't play stuff I don't like unless there's a reason for it. And again, playing anything by the Beatles, well, that's very familiar. Everybody's heard it. You can decide if you like it or you don't, and I'm not playing it.
Yeah, you know what I really struggle with, because I was such an R&B person and an R&B jock back in the 60s, and boy, I hate to say this, but when classic rock came out, I just like, ugh.
Well,
and I hate to say this, but Led Zeppelin at the time, I like, uh-uh, no, Can't do it.
Yeah, and, you know, in many ways, that Sgt. Pepper's album was really the one that kind of brought it all in after that. And for me, though, I loved the, you know, the pablum period of the early 60s. I know that music historians and critics, you know, certainly have nothing good to say about it, but I loved that early 60s stuff. And really, by the time the British invasion, and part of that, of course, was bringing us back our R&B that was never played on popular stations anyways. I kind of got a kick out of that. But I pretty much by 64 had switched exclusively to the soul stations at that point. And then by the latter 60s, I went to country. 69.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny that we didn't even know each other back in those days, but I bounced around from country to everything, to R&B and to some MOR. But, you know, when I say this name, you're probably going to drop the phone, but I was not a great Perry Como fan, but he did a song that I listened to the other night that I'd heard before, and it was like number one for multiple weeks, and it was the only thing I really liked by him, but it was called Wanted.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That was one hell of a song.
No, there were a number of those MOR/pop standards records that were really good.
I just thought it was just great.
Yeah.
His other stuff was kind of, you know, it was okay. It was pop kind of stuff.
Right.
But that Wanted was just, blew me away. Sometimes you just go, you know, pull out a CD and start listening to compilation album or something. I said, I haven't heard that in a long time. And did you like that particular?
Yeah, I did not mind it at all. But there's a number of things. Like, I liked Sweet Changes by Jack Jones. Talk about MOR in 1971. You know, and it's like, why? I don't know why. I just always liked that record.
Yeah, well, takes all kinds, doesn't it?
Exactly. But, yeah, I'll get, I'll certainly get, since I don't have you on, because, yeah, obviously I hear it all the time on KJ, and, you know, I don't think I've ever played it as a bumper, so I will.
Good. Well, you know, I enjoy listening to all kind of stuff, but, you know, even with having an internet radio and all the selections that there are out there, I can't find a whole lot of stuff that I, stations that is, that I just really have a passion for.
Yeah.
And yours is one of them.
And, you know, I, of course, I threw on 3,500 records that I played in the car years ago to just do something. Now, half of them, it's like, I got to find time to do something about this. So,
talking about Bread and Butter by the Newbie.
Well, that's I think Run Baby Run is probably more often on there. But, yeah, there's several things like that. And then there's a couple versions that are CD versions, not 45 versions, that drive me crazy. And, you know, so it's on that infamous to-do list, but I'll probably be dead first. But I really do want to add some stuff and take some stuff out of there.
Oh, yeah, but you've come a long way, because I remember when you were struggling to even get it up and running.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, I've had 9 years of, you know, building these stations back. So yeah. And the tower side and everything else. So, but we.
Who is the voice of the guy that does the weather and all that on that station?
Oh, a Big John Lubinsky. That's the morning guy on the FM who also does the weather.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, and God love him. I pray he lives a real long life, though. He's, you know, like all of us, and certainly not young, and he just loves doing it, and I am so grateful for his help.
Especially now.
Yeah. Well, sadly, you know, this year, a few months ago, his wife died of kidney failure. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, it was a long time coming, and it was known, but still, you're never really prepared. And so that really, and his sister died last year, and so it's been a rough, you know, rough time for him. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that he loves the stations, and he does the music on the FM, because that stuff, it's you know, country-based with some classic rock in there. I wouldn't know what to play on any of that stuff, but thank God the people in Gila County love it. It's the number one station in the county, and every office listens to it and all that. But for me, you know, my toy is KJ.
I had a friend of mine today I had lunch with who, surprisingly enough, has been through Globe, Arizona several times.
Well, depending on where you're going, there's no way to avoid it. You know, you know, if you're coming from Sholo to Phoenix, chances are good you're going to go through Globe.
Well, he knew all about it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, was he in mining?
No, I don't remember asking him what he was doing there, but he travels a lot, and he's into trains and all kind of cool stuff. He's well-rounded. I told him, I said, well, the next time you go through there, you need to go meet my friend.
Yes, if I'm there. So, but absolutely.
Well, anyway, I hope all is good. Take care.
Yeah.
By the way, Gary sent you a report.
Okay, I will look for that.
It's all good. So.
Excellent. I'm really glad to hear that. That's the best news of all.
Yeah, one day at a time.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon, and thanks for calling, and love to Gary.
Okay, have a great one.
Okay, bye. Yes, and Lenny Welch is coming up, 888-876-5593. And yes, we will get to Harry and Meghan. In fact, James from the South Side is going to chime in on that. James, of course, the man of the thousands of links. He is always sending me marvelous links, and I am greatly appreciative. So we'll see what's going on with Harry and Meghan. Of course, she's disappointed. He had very little money. She figured, well, he was a royal. Uh-huh. All right, all that and more coming up right here on WGN Radio.
When you walk down on me, in walk the misery, and it's been here since then. Hopes and dreams, and I don't have plans and schemes. I don't have anything since I don't have you. And I don't have fond desires. And I never will ever again. When you walk down on me, in walk the misery, and it's been here since then. I don't have enough.
Yeah. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Lenny Welch, of course, Since I Fell for You is big hit, but Since I Don't Have You, 1973 on Mainstream, a fine, fine record. Yeah, glad that Johnny likes it, and hope you do too. So it's just a terrific record, and so much more. Maybe I'll get that Please Help Me, I'm Fallin' on next. So we have Disney's Darkest Secrets, and we have Tiger dumping his lover in a new sex scandal, and, of course, Humiliated Harry selling his soul. All right, and as I say, I'm not sure where the soul selling would take place, but James on the South Side gives me all these wonderful links. So what have you heard about Harry?
Okay, how you doing? I've been a little under the weather.
No.
They say, they say the cough, it wasn't the biggest, I wasn't Mr. C, so I will
include
that.
Good. Well, now, if that was even a possibility, this sounds like we're looking at something chronic. So what's going to go on? What's the prognosis?
Well, they said everything else. They said lungs were clear. They said the cough. You had a virus. Apparently, this just the cough will take a little longer to go away.
Of course, yes. In fact, it's funny. John finally admitted that he recognizes me no matter where I am by my cough. So with me, it's been there for I don't know. I guess about 60 years now.
Well, that is good. I mean,
well, I'm still
okay,
here.
When you think about it, if you can recognize by some idiosyncrasy right away, it's a good thing.
Well, I guess, although I didn't realize I coughed, but I guess I do with alarming regularity.
But I haven't been coughing as much today, so
good.
I consider that a good thing.
Absolutely.
They gave me these little benzocaine to basically help control the cough.
Yeah, good
and
luck
so
on
it,
that.
It'll eventually go away.
Yes, it will. It absolutely will. All right, good. So all's good. So what else?
Okay, well, about Harry and Meghan, you know, I think about this and I say, you know, Meghan, you know, you could have done this a whole different way. Don't think about me, about what money you could, because he wasn't going to get them, because first off, he wasn't in the major line as far as going to actually get to the, unless something happened to William, but since now William's got children, you're just further down the line.
The bulk
of the wealth and the bulk of the power was going to go for whoever becomes. Who's either on the throne or who's next in line.
Well, you know, he was worth $30 million when they got married. Now,
which is not chump change.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I could think of all the nice things she could have kept the charity. She simply kept as the best. The guys all across the pond to say, keep a stiff upper lip.
Okay, so here's the deal. When do you think the marriage will fall apart?
You know, I think Harry's going to try and make this work a lot harder because I don't think, and given what and how I think the divorce or his parents' divorce traumatized him, I don't think he's going to just give in. And in a way, I don't even think Megan's going to give him that, let it in that either. Who knows? They might try to see if they can try to for. Who knows whoever falls dead first?
Oh, man. Well, hopefully not at the hand of the other one.
I know. That's because when I think about that, the dentist who, I'm like thinking, what gives here? I mean, okay, you had some hot young thing. You decided that you were going to just dump your wife, and then that would be the drill.
Well, the nice thing is the tabloids will not be at a loss for topics because the longer they're together, the more stories will come out.
Yeah, and apparently they've been invited to a coronation. And now here's the thing. If they had kept this, all she would have had to do just keep a stiff upper lip, keep a little nice little way. She could have practiced even mimicking the Queen's wave a little bit.
Yeah, well,
and who knows? Maybe get herself a few movie roles through Edward, basically, and just simply be as they say. Don't worry. Be happy.
Yeah, well, I'm not expecting she's going to do that, though I agree with you wholeheartedly. She certainly should. But as I say, there'll be no shortage of tabloid terrors over the coming weeks and months. And as always, thank you for 9,832 great links.
Okay.
All right.
A couple ones I kind of chopped because I said, oh, no, the sports thing, you wouldn't know anything about.
Right.
There are things where they start talking about politics. I said, oh, no, this is excruciating. And I just said, no, we'll just toss that one into the bonfire
Well, next time we can talk about that horrendous car accident over the weekend and how the hell that happened. All right.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm like, but guess what? I mean, let's see now. Chicago's, okay, this summer's going to try to have NASCAR. Oh, well, let's just hope somebody doesn't fly over the thing and end up in the lagoon over there.
You've got a wonderful imagination. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay, right. You take care.
All right.
Okay, get well.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
And John, I hope he's doing. He seems to sound a little bit better each day.
Absolutely. Thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right, so take care. God bless.
We'll get to Frank in Northlake, and you too coming up on WGN Radio.
Please help me, I'm falling in love with you. Close the door to temptation. Don't let me walk through. Turn away from me, darling. I'm begging you to
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. More Lenny Welch. Yeah, he was one of over 100 artists to record that. Of course, Hank Locklin made it popular in 1960, the big hit. But I thought that Lenny Welch did just a fine version of that in 1966. So 888-876-5593. Frank is in Northlake. How's it going, Frank?
Oh, pretty good, thank you. And how are you?
I can't complain.
Good. I wanted to thank you for that. Boy, that was a surprise. I walked in the door the other day, and there's Lefty Frizzell.
Yes.
Oh, man, that was nice. I'm trying to remember the name of the tune.
If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
And who would you say between Hank Snow, Thompson, and Hank Williams? Well, maybe not Hank Williams, because he was a little higher octave range. But between Snow and Thompson, that Lefty kind of reminds you of, that you'd stop and think if you didn't really know. Is that Lefty or is that...
Probably Snow.
Probably that's Snow. What I thought.
Too. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I can't remember. Oh, these are the two that I was supposed to call you and let you know that I'm listening, but it's too late right now. The one by, I think it was with Paul Desmond.
Well, I've got
the two bosses.
Oh, right.
How Insensitive by Tony Bennett.
Right. No, I've got Joe Williams. I've got News for You and Jerry Vale. You Can Never Give Me Back Your Heart. And another Hank Snow. I'm moving on. So
what was the Jerry Vale one?
You Can Never Give Me Back My Heart.
That's the one. You found it.
Yeah, so I'll play that.
I didn't know. All right. Okay, let's see. The Jerry Vale and the what was the other one?
Joe Williams, I Got News for You.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, am I coming in blaring?
No.
Okay, swell. Because I have speaker.
No, you're fine.
Getting back to Chicago back in the 60s, you remember, you mentioned this one time. When I told you about Tony Smith and the Aristocrats.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I have yet to, I'm trying to get a hold. I finally found the card from the Mystics, Marvin Smith.
Uh-huh.
He was the lead singer. I told you I met him.
Right.
In Northlake one day. He was singing in his car, and I says, he rolled the window down. And I says, Sam Cooke, right? He goes, no, that's me. So,
yeah.
Okay. Then we talked. He gave me his card, and I kind of lost it. I want to call him up and ask him if he is related in any way. As we know, Smith and Jones is a lot of Smiths and Jones, but Tony Smith from the Aristocrats.
Yeah.
They're both great shows, man. I mean, and also Irving Park and Sheridan Road.
Uh huh.
I've got the two. I only had the one before, but we used to go. To listen to the band. The bands was an hour on and an hour off.
Uh-huh.
So after the Cairo quit, we'd run the half a block down to the Barritz.
Oh, that's great.
They were great nightclubs.
Yeah.
And I remember one time we were playing a gig somewhere in the city. It wasn't a big kind of place because we were just starting out, but this guy comes along. His name was Harry. He was with the local 10, you know, in Chicago. Harold Youngblood.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, can I see your cards?
Yeah.
We didn't have cards yet, you know, but he gave us a pass. It was great. So you can make sure you can go get them appointments and get those cards.
Yeah.
Those were the days when the Panicos were in. Louis Corny, Porky Panico.
Uh-huh.
With the, yeah. And I think, what's his name, was the Petrillos, too. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, those were the days. We were the Bel Airs then.
A perfectly fine name.
Yeah, we took it off of there. Lucky Strikes tried to make a menthol cigarette, and they called it was a white background with clouds. Like
yes,
in the sky.
Yes, absolutely.
And it said, Bell hyphen Airs.
Right.
So we said, hey, man, how about the Bel Airs? Yeah, okay. Now, we are the time travelers.
Right. No, I remember Bel Air very, very well. That pack was like half white. It was like a line through it, and then the other part was the blue with the clouds. And the bell was right. And the bell was higher than the air.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. I remember those. So I guess they were around until about 1968. But believe it or not, they relaunched it. And yeah, it was R.J. Reynolds that relaunched it as a budget cigarette. Now, I have no idea about budget cigarettes because I remember when kids would smoke, it was maybe a quarter in the machine, you know. But
oh my gosh, when I was a kid, if you went to the bowling alley,
yeah,
it was 20 cents. You put two dimes,
right?
And you pulled the knob, boom, and then boom, and then it goes kadoonk. And you reach down and grab it on the button way on the end on the left.
Right, right.
It said, for our matchless friends. You press that and out come a book of matches.
Matches, right.
And the strikers were on the side.
You have, by the way, I hate to do this, but you've ended the show. Call me tomorrow night earlier.
Okay.
All right.
Said for our matchless friends, thank you for calling in.
All right, good deal. Talk to you soon. All right,
thanks,
and I see Annette. Annette, call me tomorrow. I'll be live at 10 o'clock Central. But thanks to Adam for putting up with me. Thanks to John for screening your calls. Thanks to those of you who called. I really appreciate that. We'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.